Thank you, Greg. I'm Hunter Frame. I'm field crops agronomist in Virginia, also known as the cotton specialist for Virginia, so it's good to hear cotton talk when I come to this meeting. But I guess my pet projects or in my soil fertility nutrient management lab or ammonia volatilization trials, looking at nitrogen stabilizers, specifically NBPT, but we've also started diving in some of the nitrification inhibitors and how they act on ammonia volatility on different soil types. The data I'm going to be presenting is a new agronomy journal article that's just been published. I think it's on the First Look webpage. If you go to their website, you can find it. There's a lot more data than what I'm going to present in the manuscript, so I encourage you all to go and look at that. So, as everyone's aware, there's been documented up to 70% of applied nitrogens can be lost through ammonia volatilization from granular urea. The only commercially available, I won't say the only, but the predominant commercially available urease inhibitor is NBPT, and that's sold in many different formulations. We're going to be talking about Agritane Ultra in this particular talk, but there's other formulations, Arborite Ag, Limus, and they actually have another active in that formulation. And we're also going to be looking at nitrification inhibitors such as DCD and nitropyrin coated on granular urea, and we'll get into their effects on overall ammonia volatilization as well as what it does when you add NBPT into that formulation, because there's little data available. If you look in the literature, you'll find quite a bit of data on DCD, but in terms of nitropyrin, there's not a lot out there for granular urea. And that's because of formulation issues that have historically plagued the application of nitropyrin on granular urea in terms of its stability in air and without being put in underneath the soil. We actually use a crystalline formulation and coated urea and then applied it immediately to the soil surface in the study. So here's just urea hydrolysis. When we apply granular urea, urease is the enzyme that breaks that down into bicarbonate and ammonium. And that results in an increased pH zone around that site of dissolution. And we can measure pHs in the literature up to 9. And when you have that increased pH, you have a lot of free hydroxyls, and which changes ammonium to ammonia gas, and that's lost to the atmosphere. One of the problems when you put nitrification inhibitors into the equation is you stop the nitrification reaction, which is controlled by nitrosomonas, at that ammonium form. So you have a lot more free ammonium that's being built up from urea hydrolysis. And that free ammonium can be converted into ammonia gas in that zone to increase pH. So we speculated if you apply these nitrification inhibitors on the soil surface, you're going to see greater loss potential. We didn't know that for sure. There's some preliminary data out there, but we wanted to test it across different soil types. And so that's what we did in this study. So we wanted to quantify that in our laboratory system. It's a closed system. It's been published multiple times in Agronomy Journal. And it allows us to control airflow rate, temperature, and then we can put up to 6 different treatments into this system to test ammonia volatilization. This is just an electron scanning microscope image of a urea granule. So here's the system in a nutshell. It's a forced air system, so we have an air pump driving air through airflow meters. We control the airflow at 1 liter a minute. It first goes into external hemostats, which it's a twofold purpose of that. One, it helps scrub the air. Two, it helps humidify the air to the outside temperature. Then it passes through an internal hemostat, which brings it up close to 100% humidity, and then it goes into the chamber. That limits our soil drying. So we maintain optimum conditions for ammonia volatilization over the course of these trials. We have very small amounts of soil drying. Once the air comes out of the system, it passes through, out of the chamber, it passes through an acid trap where we have 0.02 molar phosphoric acid that bubbles. Recovery efficiencies, we've documented anywhere from 95 to 100% recovery efficiency with this system. So you'll see a table that has 9 trials. That's because I'm not going to talk about 3 of the Agritane-only trials that we looked at. But we're going to talk about 6 laboratory trials in this system, 3 soil types. 2 are Midwestern soils, 1's a Mid-Atlantic soil. The Rob silt loam and Pella silty clay loam are from the Midwest, and the Wheeling silt loam is from Blacksburg, Virginia, which is in the Ridge and Valley region. And we wanted to evaluate DCD and nitropyrin in conjunction with NBPT at multiple rates on granular urea. One thing you're going to notice during this presentation is for the first 3 trials I present, they're lengthened. So we start out at 2 weeks, and what we weren't anticipating, usually 2 weeks we see plateau in ammonia loss. What we weren't anticipating is with the DCD only treatments and the nitrification only treatments, that loss continues to climb out further past 2 weeks. So we extended the trial incrementally out to 5 weeks. And the last three trials are 5 weeks long, so we could see where that loss goes during the trial. The nitrogen rate was 100 kilograms of N per hectare. And this is just a treatment list for all 9 trials, treatment combinations. We had 2 MBPT rates, 900 and 1200 parts per million. That's 900 is the standard agronomic rate for the U.S. for MBPT, and then 1200 is 33% above that, and we did that to see if we needed to increase that MBPT rate with the nitrification inhibitors to get adequate control. DCD rates, these are buffered around the commercial rates of DCD in the formulation Super U, and then the nitropyrin rates, 1,500 and 3,000, they were buffered around the commercially applied, the commercial rate on the label of Instinct 2, which is the commercially available nitropyrin formulation. So here's some soil properties and locations of our soils for the Rob, Wheeling, and Pella soils. As you can see, we have the GPS coordinates for that. The take-home message in this bottom table that I want everybody to look at is, one is the pH. That's going to be a big factor in explaining some of the results we see. We have from 6 to 8 water pHs, and then CEC. You see we have two soils that have CECs in the 20s, and in the Virginia soil, even though it's a silt loam, we only have a CEC around 9. That's about as good as it gets in Virginia. We don't see too many CECs higher than 9 on our soil types. So here's the first trial. This is a 2-week trial looking at the Rob silt loam. pH is 6.8 and a CEC of 21 approximately. And what we see is that the DCD alone at 16,000 milligrams of DCD per kilogram of urea, we start to see a little bit of separation, but statistically they're the same. Ammonia loss is around that 35 to 40% loss of applied N. Then you drop down and we see that the 900 milligrams of MBPT plus the high rate of DCD actually separated out statistically. So we're actually, when we have that high rate of DCD on this soil type, we see significant loss even at 2 weeks after N application in this trial. And then once with the low rate of DCD and the high rate of MBPT, those treatments did not break out significant for this soil. We're moving into the Wheeling silt loam. Now this is the Virginia soil, a little bit lower pH, lower CEC. And what we start to see, we extended the trial, we start to see even greater separation of the DCD at the high rate alone from the untreated urea. And then when we looked at the individual treatments, we see that only one of the treatments broke out statistically in cumulative total ammonia loss from the untreated urea. So we're already seeing that when we add DCD, whether it's a low rate or high rate, it's approaching the loss pattern that we see with urea alone on this soil type. One thing I will notice in this graph, if you look at the loss rate at the bottom, it's a little bit quicker than the Rob silt loam. You see that we still have under 5% control out to about 144 hours after in application for the Rob. If we go over to Wheeling, you're at that 5% at 96 hours, so 2 days prior. So there is the difference in loss rate among these soil types. Both of these are also sigmoidal loss rates, loss curves, which is going to, with MBPT in the formulation, which is going to change when we go to the next soil, where we see a more of a linear than a plateauing with MBPT on this Pella silty clay loam, high pH, high CEC, and we see a separation. When we add DCD alone, we have significantly greater loss with this soil than the untreated urea. And again, we see that start to see that separation between the high and low rates of DCD in the formulation starting to break out a little bit with this soil type. So what is after the trials, we ran two molar soil KCL extractions. And what we found was we did have some nitrification inhibition. If you look at the nitrates for the Rob and Wheeling, the untreated urea had the highest nitrate values. Where we added DCD, they were statistically lower soil nitrate levels. The Pella soil, this is an interesting soil, as in either with nitropyrin or DCD, you'll see we see no differences in ammonium or nitrate concentrations at the end of the trial, regardless of the length or duration of the trial. One thing we found, this location has a history of chicken litter application, and that's why you see nitrate parts per million in the 200s. Once we get to the later trial, they're actually in the 300s. But that's why we now know that had a history of poultry litter application. So moving on to nitropyrin. So this is the new data in this in terms of how nitropyrin acts when we apply it as a coating to urea in a crystalline form. Again, we see the same effect as what we did with DCD with that increase in ammonia volatilization throughout the trial with nitropyrin alone at the high rate compared to untreated urea. And again, we see that we really need, in order to minimize loss, the least amount of ammonia loss that we had was with that high rate of MVPT and the low rate of nitropyrin. So there is an effect of nitropyrin or nitrification inhibitor that we consistently see regardless of which nitrification inhibitor it is. Going to the wheeling, and this is the one that would lose a little bit faster. The ammonia loss was a little bit quicker during the trial. We see that the nitropyrin alone, again, significantly increased yields over untreated urea. But when we added nitropyrin in this soil, all the treatments had statistically the same loss at the end of the trial as untreated urea. So we were really hurting ourselves when we added a nitrification inhibitor to granular urea with this. However, if we had had the Agritain or MBPT alone curve, it would have broke out around that 20% loss curve. And that graph is in the publication. And this is the Pella. This is the one thing I thought we would see that separation like we saw with DCD, but we did not see the separation with nitropyrin between untreated urea and urea treated with nitropyrin. They were statistically the same. The curves basically fell on top of each other. And I think that has to do a lot with the pH and maybe the microbial community in this soil being greater with higher organic matter and just the overall probably more productive soil. Again, we see that linear loss pattern compared to the sigmoidal loss pattern in the other two soils. And again, we see that when we have the low rate of MBPT, the high rate of nitropyrin, we get a little bit more loss even on this high pH, high CEC soil. And then this is when we extended the trials, we really didn't see any effect on the nitrification from the nitrification inhibitors. And I think that's because at 5 weeks, at the rates we're applying, nitrification is up and going again, and we lose that effect of that nitrification by the end of the trial. This is just some conclusions from the publication. DCD and nitropyrin both alone increased ammonia volatilization in 5 out of 6 trials. When applied to granular urea alone. This increase is most likely due to the increased pH in the zone of dissolution, plus the stopping of nitrification or the slowing down of nitrification, building up that ammonium in that zone. This data wasn't shown, but if we looked at MBPT alone versus MBPT with the nitrification inhibitors, the time to specific percent loss thresholds was decreased, so it shortened that time. We didn't get as much control when we added nitrification inhibitors. MBPT did continue to minimize the loss of urea early in the trials, but by the end of some of these trials, we saw losses as great as untreated urea. And then soil type really played a significant role in determining what that loss curve was going to look like with these different inhibitors. pH, cation exchange capacity, play a significant role in that Pella soil. You had a high pH, which probably extended the life of the MBPT molecule, which gave us that linear loss function, whereas the cation exchange capacity was able to bond to those ammonium ions and trap them in the soil and not let them be lost as greatly as the wheeling in the Rob soils. And then the final take-home point of this, if we're using nitrification inhibitors in surface-applied urea applications, we probably should also have MBPT in that formulation as well to prevent or minimize the amount of loss that we see. Very rarely are we going to go into a system where it's 5 weeks without a rainfall event. Hopefully, it's within a week or 2 weeks of that nitrogen application that we see a rainfall event. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge the funding. Koch Agronomic Services funded the research. Etel Garnier and Greg Schwab, they're the two contact point people with Koch that we bounce trial ideas off of and plan these studies out. Gail White and David Horton, a research technician, and then my other technical staff. And then this is the citation for the article that's coming out in early 2017.